Hi, everybody, and welcome. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack now at the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday, a day when the coordinator spoke. A day, Glenn, where we, for the first time, really, you and I here, talking big picture with the Eagles a little bit at 5-8. Agreed?
Yeah.
It just kind of settled in with you, didn't it?
Yes, because we kept having those vague playoff hopes, and week by week they would kind of chip away, and now, like, well, that's gone. So Now we kind of look ahead and see what do you got for next year? What are we looking at for the last three games? What can they build toward the future?
If I have to ask you right now, three biggest needs on this football team, 1 through 3, your answer.
That's very easy. Number one is wide receiver. Number two is cornerback. And number three is offensive line help.
Okay.
I can't argue with any of that, right?
I would argue a little bit with that.
Really?
Yeah, I would.
How?
I want to see a defensive line that dominates. I think if you added a top-level pass rusher into the mix here, the whole dynamic of the defense would change.
Well, that's great. How are you going to be fitting that one in?
Well, that's what Howie Roseman's going to be doing.
Didn't they sign a couple guys this past offseason, extend a few guys this offseason to provide that?
Yes.
Well, it's difficult to go back to that well.
Well, but no. They signed Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
Did they sign
a pass rusher?
Vinnie Curry. Yeah.
Yes.
And they need more. Well, Vinnie Curry's got, two sacks this year?
Vinnie Curry's not having a good year. I will grant you that, but it would be challenging to see them go out this offseason and spend, what are you talking about, a four-year, five-year deal, multi-million?
Or draft.
For somebody at that?
Or draft.
Well, listen, I'm never opposed to drafting a pass-rushing defensive end, but, man, you got needs at cornerback. You got the other ones I mentioned, wide receiver.
There are needs on this football team, and today the coordinator spoke. Let's get you caught up with everything happening with the Philadelphia Eagles as Frank Reich talks about the offense, and Jim Schwartz talks about the defense, and Alex Smith is here to break it all down. It's our 360 update.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith here with your 360 update. The Eagles have the day off from practice today, but they will be back starting on Wednesday as they get set for a trip to Baltimore to visit the Ravens. Today we did hear from the Eagles coordinators, and we'll start things off with defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who talked about the play of the Eagles corners in the last game against Washington.
Yeah, I made a lot of plays. Doesn't make up for the ones we gave up. We got a score lead in the fourth quarter. Man, I'd swap any of those for knocking that ball down on fourth and one. You know, sort of life as an NFL corner. You're going to give up some plays. We just can't make them an 80-yard play. Like I said, if that's 60, we get them on the ground, we got a chance to make another play.
Meanwhile, within the last 24 hours, the Eagles have made a host of roster moves, sending three players to injured reserve. That's John Dorenbos, Wendell Smallwood, and Matt Tobin. And to fill those roster spots, they signed veteran cornerback Dwayne Gratz, along with long snapper Rick Lovato. And then just earlier this morning, the team elevated running back Byron Marshall from the practice squad to the active roster. And today we heard from offensive coordinator Frank Reich on what Marshall can bring to the table.
Byron, I'm not sure what action he'll see, but I can just tell you, watching scout team this whole year, probably if you took the 10 most eye-popping wild plays on the field this year, Byron might have three or four of them, where he's running scout team and he runs a route or he makes a cut against our defense that just goes, whoa. I mean, that was, and we'll look at each other and say, that was legit. I mean, so he's got some explosiveness and elusiveness to him.
All right, well, that will wrap things up here from the NovaCare Complex. Don't forget that tomorrow we'll hear from head coach Doug Peterson, along with quarterback Carson Wentz, wide receiver Jordan Matthews, and a host of others. You can catch all of that content right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the official Eagles mobile app.
Thank you so much, Alex. You know, Glenn, we are looking at a roster here that has really taken some beatings.
Yeah.
How ironic, sad is it that John Dorenbos gets to the point where he ties the record with Harold Carmichael for most consecutive games played. He is honored on the scoreboard at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday. And then a few minutes later, he's running into the locker room with a messed up right wrist.
Yeah, a terrible thing for him.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, what a great guy at what he has always done. What a great teammate he is. What a great guy to have in this area. And I'm glad he tied it. It is a shame that it happens on that day.
Yeah, so the Eagles beat up, bruised, but also going into this game against Baltimore, expecting to win. And that is the objective. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles as we continue through the show, including a visit with head coach Doug Peterson. We'll also take a look around the NFC East. But when we return to Eagles 360, Glenn Mack now, his five big picture takeaways from Sunday's loss to the Washington Redskins. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's. Mix and match on McDonald's McPick 2 for $2.50 menu, now featuring Filet-O-Fish for a limited time. I'm loving it.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
With Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank, just make one deposit, payment, withdrawal, or transfer each month to waive the monthly fee, and there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank.
Remarkable things are happening at your local Acme. We're making changes, and we're getting better every day. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce, and hundreds of organics. To top it off, we're lowering thousands of prices throughout the store. So come on in and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Lower prices, great quality, and friendlier service. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Be noisy, be silent, be near, be far, be joyful, be together. Celebrate joy with Dunkin's holiday flavored coffees, espressos, and donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Welcome back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro with Glenn Mack now, who will now give us his five takeaways from the 27-22 loss to the Washington Redskins.
All right, here you go, Dave. A lot of these, I think, are pretty self-evident, but feel free to applaud as you see fit. Number one, this team really needs to learn how to win those one-possession games. They are, thank you, David. They're 0-5 in that. They are 0-4 in the division in those one-possession games. And on Sunday, in a lot of ways, they outplayed Washington. They had 50 more total yards. They held the ball. They out possession 36-24.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is pretty significant. They had fewer penalty yards for once.
This was the first of the one possession losses, I think, that I come away saying, you know, this team's going to learn from this, because they didn't commit a lot of penalties. They didn't miss a lot of tackles. They didn't blow assignments. They just couldn't finish.
They couldn't finish.
They
were
the personnel
right,
to finish.
10 points and 4 visits to the red zone just isn't going to do it. And the 2 turnovers in the red zone really aren't going to do it. Fixable, yes. As in next year, fixable.
Yeah, fixable as in the Eagles need to continue to have good off seasons, as they did this past off season, adding Carson Wentz and what looks to be a good draft class and a couple of key free agents.
Well, you take me right to number 2, which is Carson Wentz is still a bright spot. I heard several foolish critics kind of blame him for the end of the game. No. There is nothing he can do in that situation. He is playing without 3 of his starting offensive linemen, without 3 of his running, 3 of the 4 running backs they went into the year with, and without 3 of the guys that counted on to catch the passes. He marched them down, was it 61 yards, to put them in that position. There is nothing he could do on the play where he got sacked. I remain impressed by Carson Wentz, by his guts, by his leadership, by his brains, by a lot of things. He's got a lot to learn, yes, but... Doug Peterson said this was his best game of the year. I still go with Pittsburgh, but I think it was a very, very good game overall.
I honestly will tell you that after this game, look, you always are, we're all looking at every move that Carson Wentz makes, every word that he says. Everything about Carson Wentz after this game, Glenn, I felt this kid is the real deal. I feel it more strongly now than ever.
Yeah, moral victories don't mean a lot. No. And I don't want to say that Sunday was won, but I remain encouraged by what I see
and
with him.
And what I've seen from him that I didn't really expect to see is 6'5", 240-plus pounds. He's a big guy. But you see how agile he is in the pocket, how he can shrug off some would-be tacklers, how athletic he is for such a big kid. This is all very good news for you, for us, for the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, number 3. I need your help on this one.
Yes, please.
I don't know what to make of Zach Ertz, Dave, because I feel like we have been here before. 10 catches, 112 yards. But he does this every year. He had this game last year, 15-catch game against the Redskins in December. He did this in 2014, 13-catch game against the Redskins in December. Last three games of the year that year, 30 catches, 352 yards. Now, overall, the last three seasons in December, Ertz averages 7.2 catches, 81 yards, and he's got four touchdowns in 11 games. The rest of the year, he averages 3.2 catches a game, 39 yards, and only three touchdowns in 39 games. I feel like every year at this time we say, this is going to be it. Next year he's going to be there. I can't anymore predict that. I don't know if it's just the December thing of Zach Ertz.
Well, I will say this. After the week that Zach Ertz had last week with the criticism about the non-block in Cincinnati, the player that I saw on Sunday was much more physical, fighting for yards after the catch, really trying to be more of a determined physical runner.
Had I'll moderate give you success, that.
But as like a productive writer, I get what you're saying. And the key for this young man is to put it all together and for the Eagles to incorporate him. And I think he's actually been more productive in the last four or five games after that displaced rib.
Yeah.
Look, he came out and had a really good first game against Cleveland.
He did.
And suffers the displaced rib, plays with it, and then misses 3 weeks.
Yeah, and maybe there's a chemistry with him and Wentz, but I don't want to be pulled into it again because I've been pulled into it before.
And they hadn't worked much at all in the preseason.
Sure. All right, here you go. Number four. Let's give a hand to Trey Burton, who, man, he can do it all, this kid. He's up to 32 catches this season. He's got 12 catches in the last two games. He's a terrific special teams player. He makes tackles on special teams. And when called upon in emergency, not that bad long snapping. Now, the punter helped him. Donnie Jones did a nice job on that.
Yep.
But you know what? He got it back there. He volunteered. He did a good job. He's a very valuable cog of this team. Trey Burton, a guy you can really root for, and he's done well.
Yeah, and Trey's one of those unsung kind of glue players who is a core member of Dave Phipps' special teams and has become a really versatile player in the offense. Moves all around the formation, creates good matchups, and has generally caught the ball very well, with the exception of a game or two.
Yeah, and Wentz found him early, which was nice to see. All right, number five. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think DeSean Jackson really wants to come back to this town. Before the game, he is lobbying with our friend Howard Eskin that he wants to come back. After the game, he'll tell anybody who listens how much he likes Philadelphia. Hey, they cheered me today. They must really like me. Well, we'll see how it plays out. He had another good game against the Eagles, which he seems to do, had that 80-yard touchdown. He's got, what, four touchdowns now against the Eagles in the five games he's played. I don't know how it works out, but I'll tell you what. He would be delighted to come back here.
I believe that he will stay in Washington with the Redskins.
Ooh.
It's my thought.
You give me the field?
Yeah, I'll give you the field.
All right. Bet you
beer? You have dinner that you owe me.
Have I offered to pay that
a few times?
Okay, that's not on me.
We'll do the beer bet. That sounds... Wait, we'll do the soda bet. Well, that sounds better with me, okay? Glenn Macnow's five takeaways from the loss against the Washington Redskins. Eagles have not won a game in the NFC East this year with two remaining. When we return to Eagles 360, the head coach Doug Peterson in studio talking about his Eagles. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. The Eagles and Rothman Institute at Jefferson are partnering to celebrate the top high school football teams and coaches in the tri-state area with the High School Football Showdown. Visit the website to vote for the game of the week and support your school. Check back daily for new matchups.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
Hi, I'm Bo Allen from the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is the Allen from Bob's Discount Furniture.
We named it after Bo.
Thanks, Bob. You're the man.
It packs some serious power. Power recline, power headrest, and USB ports. Get the sofa or console love seat in dark chocolate or light brown, an untouchable value at only $7.99 each.
I don't know how you do it, Bob, but man, do I respect it. You know how players show respect after big games?
Nope.
We swap jerseys.
All right, fellas, let's go out there and give him heck.
Heck.
Let's go out there and give him the 1-2.
You tell him, Captain.
Let's go out there and we're going to really give him the business.
By God, let's sock it to him.
Yeah. Fair and square. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Come on,
on, Bobby, let's give him a water.
Holy smokes.
The old game just can't compete, especially when it comes to innovative energy solutions like the ones NRG uses to power the Eagles. Visit picknrg.com today.
Celebrate the holidays with delicious Dunkin' coffee. Stop by Dunkin' Donuts for two K-Cup boxes for $15.99 or 3 pounds of packaged coffee for $19.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you into the studio here. Doug Peterson is weekly one-on-one presented by Wawa. And, Coach, the Eagles are 5-8 here. I got to tell you, I feel different than I normally do a couple of days after a loss. I felt that Sunday really showed how close this team is. Agreed? I know there's no time for moral victories. I get it.
Yeah, but, you know, the way our season's going, you kind of take a moral victory at this time. But ultimately, yeah, I felt like the guys really responded. You know, they had a great week of practice, prepared extremely well, put themselves in a great position, and took it down literally to the last play of the game. Mm-hmm. And we definitely had opportunities, enough mistakes, though, little things, you know. That can cost you some ball games that we got to continue to fight through and clean up. But definitely the effort, definitely the overall performance was there and good enough to win.
Your thoughts on how Carson performed on Sunday and how he led the team, not only throwing the football, handing it off, but the way he led the team.
By far his most complete performance of the year. Did a nice job with his feet and his mechanics and the way he was accurate with the football, you know, and those are all part of the things we've been talking about, you know, over the last few weeks. But I thought he really did a great job there and made some tough throws and got hit and got blasted a couple times. But definitely his best performance.
What are the mind games like for a quarterback when the pieces are changing in front of you and around you so much?
It's difficult. You know, it's difficult because you just don't know. You know, snap count becomes important. You know, can you change up the snap count? You know, guys don't necessarily get those reps during the week of practice, you know, of preparation. You know, so it can be a little unsettling, you know, moving pieces around the way we had to Sunday. You know, Isaac has to go play right guard, and then obviously Matt Tobin has to come in and play right tackle, you know, towards the end of the game. But I thought that both of those guys came in and did a good job, you know, did an outstanding job. And again, it just shows the resiliency of our guys, the way they prepare during the week and really get themselves in a position to play.
So this is a question. You've had Carson for whatever, how many months here, 13 regular season games. You scouted him all off season. Is there anything about his game, Doug, that's maybe different, maybe better than you thought when you first got him, that you didn't know about him maybe?
You know, I think his leadership ability, the ability to kind of rally the troops, his toughness, mental and physical, you know, because there were times on his college tape that he didn't go through this type of adversity. One, losing, and two, just physically getting, you know, beat up like he's been or hit like he's been these last couple of weeks. Now he's fought through the arm and the wrist and all that stuff, you know, his senior year. But you know what he's doing and what he's fighting through now. Just goes to show you the type of leader that he is. And, you know, the guys really respond to that. And you know, again, we talk about it, but, we want to win now, obviously, but the future is definitely the way to go.
You made the move trading Sam and elevating Carson, and I'm sure you watched how Carson would take over the locker room and then how the players would respond to him. What have you seen in that respect through 13 games?
Well, number one, you've seen the everybody is really the entire team has rallied, you know, around him. He's the leader of the football team, and sort of on offense, we go how he goes, and really our offensive line goes. But the way he's embraced the team and the way he talks to the players and talks to his receivers and tight ends on running routes and how to run routes and the time spent before and after practice and how he prepares, those are all things you kind of think you know. But until you really see it as a coach, you know, it's a special part of him, and it makes him a great quarterback.
As Eagles fans understand what you're all about offensively, personnel groupings, formations, etc., Can you talk about what you're doing with these tight ends and how you're moving Trey, who was really productive, and Zach, who's really productive, in all these different positions?
Well, you know, we feel like, you know, as an offensive staff, that by moving our tight ends around a little bit, we create some matchups on defense and some opportunities. Bigger bodies sometimes on smaller, quicker guys can be an advantage for you, especially down in the red zone. And Trey, as athletic as he is good in space and knows how to run routes, and he's getting better. And Brent's just that old warrior, the battler. I mean, he's going to do everything you ask him to do, and really, Carson is really feeling comfortable now and understanding where these guys are going to be. So it just creates matchups. We got to continue to do that and put our guys in positions to be successful.
Last question on the offense, then a couple on defense. 1 of 4 in the red zone on Sunday. Do you just circle that and go, what the heck, man?
You do. Obviously, we had the 2 turnovers down there, which you can't have. You know, we got to convert touchdowns, and it's just something that's a focal thing. We had an opportunity. We've had opportunities. You know, we work on it in practice. We actually do competitive drills, and I've changed up practice to where we go good versus good in practice at the end of a Thursday, which is a red zone. On a Wednesday, which is a red zone sort of not really an emphasis, but it gives us a chance to go against our defense. So good versus good,
one
versus
one,
okay. And get some reps there. So, you know, the more we can expose our players, the sense of urgency goes up. The ability to run the football down there all become big keys and factors into your success in the red zone.
Defensively, really physical, really aggressive. What'd you see on tape?
Saw exactly the same thing. Guys were flying around. They were having fun. It looked like their personality and their swagger was back, and had a couple sacks in the game and got after the quarterback Cousins a little bit. You know, we had the pick six on defense, which was great to see. You know, and they keep battling, they keep fighting through, and you know, we've played some good quarterbacks and some good offenses here down the stretch. But I thought again Sunday that the defense really responded to the challenge and played well enough for us to be in a position to win.
How big for Fletcher, just from a mental standpoint, to get to the quarterback a couple times?
Well, you can see it on film. I think it was a relief, number one, that he got there, and his excitement after the play was tremendous. It's something that they keep battling, they keep fighting, they keep working every single day. And these are the things that I see every week, and the resiliency of the football team, and the leadership coming through. And these guys keep fighting through it, and it paid off for them on Sunday.
A lot of work ahead, Coach. Thanks so much for joining us in studio. Doug Peterson, One-on-One, presented by Wawa.
He's good?
Dad, I'm telling you, he's lit.
Okay, lay it on me.
You can't choose someone's taste in music, but at least you can choose two of your favorites from McDonald's McPick 2 menu.
So, you like it?
No. No. Oh, sir.
Simply Right checking from Santander Bank, just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right checking from Santander Bank.
You say crazy, I say crafty. You say savage, I say practice. Crazy, crafty, savage, practice. Let's run that whole thing back. You say unbelievable, I say achievable. You say incredible, I say inevitable. Unbelievable, achievable, incredible, inevitable. Let's run that whole thing back. Carbs to compete, electrolytes to replenish.
He's good?
Dad, I'm telling you, he's lit.
Okay, lay it on me.
You can't choose someone's taste in music, but at least you can choose two of your favorites from McDonald's McPick 2 menu.
So, you like it?
No. No.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack. Now time now to talk about the NFC East. We go around the division presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. And we start at the top of the division where the Dallas Cowboys showed some vulnerabilities on Sunday in their loss to the New York Giants.
How about that?
Look, you pressure the quarterback, he's going to show what he really is. And I just think Dak Prescott, who's done a very good job, very heady, very steady, good use of his legs, when he doesn't have the best offensive line in the game dominating, he's really not that good.
Yeah, the Giants really went at Doug Free, which is probably the most vulnerable guy on their offensive line, and they got through, and they put him under pressure, And guess what? He's a fourth-round rookie. He's a real good one, but he's a fourth-round rookie. So you're right. When the other things aren't working, when he's under pressure, he turned mortal. The Giants have now beat the Cowboys twice this year. It will be interesting if they get to the playoffs to see if the Giants really kind of have their number. It was a impressive game by the Giants defense, and really kind of showed, I think, the two ways Dallas gets beat is if you can get to Prescott, you can do something, and Dallas still has no pass rush.
Yeah.
And a team without a pass rush, to me, is a team that can be beat.
Okay, good stuff there. New York Giants beating the Dallas Cowboys, very much in the thick of the playoff race. But Dave Spadaro, and I'm speaking in the third sense, third-person sense, does not believe in the New York Giants. I don't believe in them.
Okay.
And they're frauds.
And I remain skeptical as well. They won a lot of games that kind of worked out fortuitous for them, but this was an impressive one. One thing I will say that one of my takeaways from that game is that Odell Beckham Jr. is worth the headaches. I mean, he can be a real pain in the neck if you're a coach, if you're a teammate, if you're a fan, if you're an owner. But he makes the catch. He runs down the field to get the win for them. They don't win that game without him. He is a very valuable player.
And as we saw with Washington and DeSean Jackson, the 80-yard touchdown catch and run, Odell Beckham in New York, these teams have that big playmaker, as you say, the number one need for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it certainly is a top need. It just, they make it easy. They make it easy with these big chunk plays. Meanwhile, the Eagles are among the league leaders in offensive teams with drives 5 minutes or more. Well, that's great, but the point is the Eagles have to work so hard to score points.
Yeah, and the Eagles don't have anybody they can just put over the top that scares the other team, forces them to play deep, and that would help Carson Wentz immensely.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year. You never know. Washington Redskins, winners against the Eagles on Sunday. They're on the outside looking in, but the schedule really not that tough. Carolina this week on Monday night at Chicago, home with the Giants. I say the Redskins sweep those three teams and get into the playoffs, and I think they will.
5-1, eh?
I think they will beat the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, so if they're in the playoffs, let's see who's out. The Giants are 9-4, right? The
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know what their schedule looks like.
I can tell you right now, the Buccaneers are 8-5. They're at Dallas.
Yeah, loss.
At the Saints.
Loss.
Home against the Panthers.
They're out. They have 7.
They
losses.
Lose the two. Wow, there you go.
See how easy this is?
All right, so Atlanta wins that division. They're out. So the Giants and the Redskins, your NFC East rivals. And the Cowboys are all in the playoffs?
The NFC
That's not a good season
beast.
At all.
The NFC. It certainly doesn't make playoff watching a whole lot of fun, unless you put it on mute, which is what I've been doing.
Well, as long as the Vikings
I've been
make
watching
it, right?
Games.
You don't want the Vikings to make it because you want that draft pick.
That's exactly right. So that is our, convoluted look at the NFC East presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. When we come back to Eagles 360, Glenn and I, our last segment, some final thoughts as we get warmed up to the feeling of the Eagles in Baltimore on Sunday. Expected to be a rainy, kind of miserable day down there.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
I sup to Philly.
I sup to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I sup to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
With Simply Right checking from Santander Bank, just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right checking from Santander Bank.
Are you feeling all right, baby?
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
Our final segment here on Eagles 360, Dave and Glenn. We'll give you our final thoughts on this Tuesday in just a moment. Let's get you set up for everything that is happening on Wednesday. It's our Amorosos on the Menu segment tomorrow. Mike Quick joins me in studio. We'll talk a little big picture about this Philadelphia Eagles offense. We'll have a visit from Ken Flagel, Eagles linebackers coach. And it's a busy day for the players as they meet the media. We've got you all covered right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official team app. Amoroso's the reason Philly sandwiches are so famous. Well, Glenn, are you warming up to the idea of Baltimore and coming off that tough loss for them on Monday night?
Yeah, and that was a very good game. I watched that game Monday night. It really was an exciting, terrific, back-and-forth kind of game. Tom Brady is amazing.
Amazing. The best of all time.
The best of all time. I always thought Montana, and now I got to put him past Montana. I think the one thing I'd really like to see Sunday is the Eagles' defense have a game. Put pressure on the quarterback. Have the safeties play well, the linebackers. I feel like the defense got off to a great start and really has kind of fallen, and they got three games to get it back. There are some guys there you think are playing for jobs, want to see those guys show that they should be here next year.
There is a suggestion made by Bob Ford of the Philadelphia Inquirer that the Eagles should sit Carson Wentz against the Ravens. And is that gaining any steam out there?
Not in my household.
Okay, good. Right. I mean, is anybody...
I pulled my wife and my cats there against it. I like Bob Ford. He's a good columnist in this town. That's an insane position to hold. You do not sit your developing rookie quarterback because, what, you're scared?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me?
I guess
the NFL, you go and you play.
Yeah.
It would be a mockable... fireable, disasterable offense if the Eagles did that.
I don't think they're doing that.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Carson Wentz, I'm going to go on a limb here. Carson Wentz will start at quarterback on Sunday.
Good. And finish.
That'll do it for us. Glenn Macnow, Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles 360. We thank you for joining us. I'm back tomorrow with Mike Quick. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles day.